Hey, we are joined this morning by Dr. Keith Leonard, local veterinarian, and we are going to, I want to start kind of a series a little bit where I want to visit with some different professionals in different areas here locally. Talk a little bit about maybe what young people should be considering if they're interested in a profession along those lines. And today, of course, we'll talk about veterinary medicine. Good morning.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in. When did you decide you wanted to be a veterinarian?
My wife said I was weird. I started in sixth grade, and everything I took beyond sixth grade was to become a veterinarian. And, of course, I was able to accomplish my goal about 43 years ago. And so it was a great decision for me.
Why did you want to become a veterinarian? What pushed you that way?
Well, first off, I was a farm boy, and my contact with a veterinarian was Doc coming out, and he was always nice to me, and I was interested in animals. My smart alecky answer is when I was a kid, I liked to take things apart and put them back together, and I liked animals, and it's the only profession you can do both.
Now, I hear that a lot, and I'm sure you do too. You get kids that come out through the MO programs and what have you, shadowing and stuff. Why do you want to be here? Oh, because I love animals. Is that why you should become a veterinarian, is because you love animals?
No, you really don't. What this is a people business, like every business. This is, you have to like people. Our people happen to own animals, whether they own cows, pigs, dogs, cats. It doesn't make any difference. They still like their animals, and they want someone that'll help them. So I guess my real motivation in all of this is to help people. And I think hopefully over the years I've helped a lot of people.
How would youngsters really realize whether or not it's right for them? Should they get involved in some sort of a program where they can shadow or follow around someone for a while just to kind of visit and talk about the career?
Absolutely. You need to have some hands-on experience, some kind of time where you can be with a veterinarian, whether it's me or someone else, see what we actually do on a day-to-day basis, because what you see in the office is just a minor part of it. One of the things that's interesting about the veterinary profession is that we're a small business, and the business side of our life is as important as the medical part, and a lot of people don't understand that.
Well, and I don't think sometimes people realize that there are, just being a veterinarian doesn't call it what it is. Because if you're in a rural area, you're a different type of veterinarian sometimes than you are in a big city. Depending upon how you choose to run your practice, you may see all kinds of different things.
Absolutely. And as a general practitioner, which is what I classify myself as, we do see a lot of strange things. We see the ferrets, and we see the rabbits with the long teeth that we have to trim, all kinds of little oddball stuff. Mostly it's dogs and cats for me nowadays. Majority of my career, I did a lot of swine work. The swine industry's kind of left our area now. But at one time, I was in a hog building almost every single day. And that's a whole different ball game than seeing dogs and cats every day like I do now.
We've seen it many times. Youngsters getting ready to graduate from high school, they're trying to look ahead those next few years. What's the hot profession? Well, what's hot when they're graduating from high school may not be so hot 4, 5, 6 years later when they're graduating with their degree or advanced degree from college. Is veterinary medicine always a place where there's a need?
I think pretty much there is. You do have to remember it's going to be 7 to 8 years down the road when you actually graduate and can become a veterinarian. The nice part about becoming a veterinarian is you pass your national boards. You can go any place in the United States. You're not confined by geography or anything else. You can go anywhere and you can do anything. There are lots and lots of fields that are involved with veterinary medicine that are not general practice. That's what I do. That's what I love. We have a lot of people that work for the government. We have people that work in the military. We have people who work in zoos. We have people who work with aquatics. It's just an unbelievably large field. One of my classmates worked his way through college teaching flying lessons. And when he graduated, Highline Chickens got him and said, hey, we want to make you a chicken veterinarian, and here's a twin-engine plane, and the first thing we want you to do is go to South America. And he thought, what an intriguing idea, and wasn't really prepared for chicken medicine, but you know what? He learned it very quickly, and he got to fly, and his two passions in life got to come together. So there's all kinds of things that you can do in veterinary medicine that most people don't think about when you come in to see me to have your dog checked out.
And make sure you tell them all the skills that you possess. You might be surprised how they can fit that in.
Absolutely correct. A lot of veterinarians work for industry, and when you work for industry, your communication skills are as important there as they are in private practice.
What about private practice? The easy thing when you're coming out of college is to look for a job. sometimes the tough thing is to look at investing in a business in yourself and opening up a practice, or maybe looking at buying out an existing practice somewhere. Does it just depend on the person, what's right for them?
Absolutely. We have veterinarians who come out of school and say, absolutely, I do not want to own a practice. I never want to own a practice. I don't want that hassle. Because majority of our graduates now are women, this is a great profession for women, because you can go to work at 8:30 in the morning, get off at 3:30, pick up your kids at school, be a full-time mom and be a full-time veterinarian at the same time, and make a pretty decent living at doing that. So those types of persons don't want to own a practice. Some people, I absolutely want to own a practice. They're entrepreneurial. They want to do it. They want to be the boss. They want the buck to stop with them. That's one of those things that being in private practice, you get to do, or conversely, you have to do.
We're going to go back in time a little bit now. Let's go back to and talk to kids, people who have kids in high school, or the high schoolers themselves here. If they're considering that as a possible career, if they've, say, done a little investigating and realized, yeah, this is something I really want to do, I think this is the right path, what should they be doing at this particular time to prepare themselves?
Okay. First thing I always tell kids, take as much of the English, both written and oral, as you can take. Get into speech. Get into debate. Do things like that. That's extremely important, because no matter what part of veterinary medicine you go into, you have to communicate properly. The next thing is the sciences, of course. Advanced chemistry. If Mrs. Jenkins will hang on while you get there, you take her advanced chemistry course. Make sure that you have your schedule set out so that you can take that, because if you pass Mrs. Jenkins's advanced chemistry course here in Atlantic High School, you are going to be well positioned for college. Physics. Pre-vet has to have a whole year of physics. I always tell people that's so that you know how many times to wrap the rope around the post so the cow can't get away. But physics is important, because you do use it a lot. Math, surprisingly, is not very important. You don't have to have calculus. You need to have a very good grasp on the metric system, but you have to know how to add, subtract, multiply, divide, and use a little algebra. That's all the math I use to this day. But it's just different things require different skill sets. If you're going to go into research, then math becomes more important. Statistics become extremely important. And as a pre-vet student, you have to take statistics.
I heard one time that someone told me that they thought being a veterinarian was kind of along the same lines of being, like a pediatrician. You know, sometimes the very young children, sure, they'll tell you when something's wrong because they'll cry, just the same way an animal might tell you something's wrong. A pet, a dog might tell you something's wrong because he whines, or he might not eat or withdraw or something. But they're not going to tell you what's wrong. And so that's always kind of the thing. It's putting pieces together. You kind of have to be someone who likes to work puzzles.
Absolutely correct, and you're exactly right. We're the most like a pediatrician. We have a client and or parent who tells us one thing. We have a patient or a dog in front of us that tells us maybe not quite the same story. We have to sort that out to find out who is telling us the most important thing. I'm not saying anybody's wrong. I'm just telling you that we have to sort that out. And being a puzzle solver is a very big part of it. I tell people every day that's all I do. I just do what people tell me to do. Hey, my dog is sick. Fix him. Sure, I'll be happy to do that. So I take orders from everybody all day long.
I sometimes hear people, doctors, complaining about some of those websites because people want to self-diagnose all the time, and mm-hmm. they seem to have things all figured out before they ever walk into the office. Mm-hmm. I bet you find it too.
Absolutely correct. And there's a lot of good websites out there, but there's also a lot of really crappy ones out there. And if you get on the wrong website, you're going to have your things completely messed up, and you may not do something that you should be doing. It should be more important than what you think it is because of what you found. You know, I love it when people call me. I take, I don't know how many calls a day. I don't even keep track because I can't keep track. But I get calls all day long, people saying, hey, you know, this is what's going on with my dog. Do you think I need to bring him in? Well, most of the time, yeah, your instincts are correct. You need to bring him in. We need to make you an appointment. Sometimes it's something simple and I say, hey, you know, this is what you really need to do. Give him a little Pepto-Bismol. You're going to be okay. You know, he ate something that didn't agree with him. You left the canned food out too long. It got a little spoiled. Don't do that. You know, he's just got an upset tummy.
Mm-hmm. Well, was there ever a time during those 8 years you spent? I know there's a lot of great places to go. You're an Iowa State guy, a lot of great places to go to get that degree. Was there ever during that 8-year period where you questioned whether you made the right decision?
Not me. That's why my wife says I'm such an oddball, because, you know, all of our kids have changed their minds as they went through college, and I've seen that. And I just go, no, I never did. I was very single focused. My wife will tell you I'm a creature of habit. I go to the office the same way every day. And she says, why don't you take other streets? And I said, because I know that's the fastest one. So I'm pretty much a creature of habit, and I really get into a groove, and that's what I go for.
Well, here you are all these years and still practicing. Mm-hmm. You must enjoy it, because people ask you all the time, how come you haven't retired yet?
Yeah. I just had a 68th birthday, and I got that question just today. Are you going to retire? And they said, I sure hope you don't. You know, they always add that little caveat. And I tell people, yeah, someday I'm going to retire. You know, my dad lived to be 98, so probably by the time I'm 98, I'm going to retire. But probably before that. But sometimes when you make that decision, it doesn't have anything to do with what you want to do. It may be something I can't control.
Absolutely. All in all, though, great career choice. No regrets?
Oh, not one. Don't regret coming to Atlantic, Iowa. We came here. I was not from here. I was from Perry originally. My first partner was actually from Ankeny. We came down here. We chose Atlantic. And one of the key factors that we used in choosing Atlantic, besides the fact we knew there was plenty of room for veterinarians down here, was that this town liked their town. We talked to people on the street, and everyone that we talked to when we interviewed Atlantic, and that's what we did, we interviewed Atlantic, liked Atlantic. And to this day, I find that people like Atlantic, and means the world to me.
Very good. Well, I know you get a lot of folks that ask you, my son or daughter has been thinking about... So ask the questions, right?
Yeah, you bet. Call out. Come out. I love to have kids with me. I do require you to be an eighth grader, probably. Under that's probably not much value to come out and see me. The eighth grade program does have a shadowing program here in the school, and I get those every year. I do require that those kids have a 3-point. And the reason I do that is because if you don't have a 3-point in eighth grade, you're not going to make vet school. One of the biggest problems right now is keeping your grades up to get into veterinary school. The average GPA coming into veterinary school is 3.6. 4-point system, that means you're a pretty smart person. I'm glad that I went through school 43 years ago, because, they learn a lot more than I did. There's a lot more stuff to learn. I've learned most of those things, but it's been over a 43-year period.
Well, a rewarding career usually means you've worked pretty hard at it, too, and I'm sure they'll teach you that right away. You need to work hard.
Yeah, it really is a hardworking job, and, you know, and you have to be dedicated. People call me. I had a call at 9:30 last night, you know. My dog is really sick, and you need to see it. I went down and saw the dog, and the lady was right. Her dog was sick. We hopefully got her straightened out. So it's just one of those things that happens, and you have to be willing to do that.
Very good. Well, good advice. I hope some folks took advantage of this, and if their kids are thinking about, maybe that's a career choice for me, now hopefully you know a little bit more than you did before we started.
Always remember, it's a people business. Our people happen to own animals.
Very good. Doc, thanks for coming by.
You bet. Anytime, Jim. Thanks.